Scriptural hope is not wishy-washy. It's very positive, confident that we will receive what we expect. And that's what I want to talk about, hope, today. But first, I'd like you to picture what it was like back in the days before Jesus. And put yourself in that place, living back then. Maybe you don't know much about those days, but that's okay. Could be any time. Could be the time of Abraham or Jacob. Could be the time of the Israelites traveling to the Promised Land. Could be the time of King David. Any time prior to Jesus. People were afraid of dying. They knew that their existence continued after the body died. They knew, in effect, that their life continued. However, what they were afraid of is where that life would be. And they had many names. If you read through Scripture, you'll see references made to the grave, the pit, Sheol, the underworld. It was a place of darkness where there was no hope whatsoever. And that's why people were afraid of dying. There was no hope. It was just continued existence, not life as we know it. They didn't know anything about Jesus. They knew that someday a Messiah was promised and would come. But they didn't know much about the Messiah, who that would be or what he would do, other than they expected that he would be a king like David, who would conquer their enemies, and therefore they could live in peace in their land. They didn't understand that the Messiah came with a spiritual purpose to save their souls from death, from the fate that they feared the most. It was a terrible way to live, I would think, always in fear of dying and what that meant and the understanding that they had of what their existence would be like. We have that parable of Jesus who spoke about Lazarus and the rich man, where both of them died and they both went to Hades, which was another name for where you went after you died. Lazarus was a poor man, but he lived his life in a godly manner. And he was in the portion of Hades that it was a lot more tolerable, let's say. The rich man who only thought of himself and lived a life of luxury, didn't care what happened to anybody else, he was in the other part of Hades where he was in torment. But Jesus spoke about that and made reference to the fact that Hades existed. But Lazarus was comforted. And ultimately, when Jesus resurrected, he would be lifted on high with him into heaven. But, like I said, it's a terrible way to live with no hope whatsoever. The first one there. And Isaiah makes reference to this. He said, the people who walked in darkness, that's the way it was back then, walking in darkness. Satan had pretty much control of the world because of sin and Adam and Eve, the fall. And they originally had dominion over the earth, but because of their sin, that dominion transferred over to Satan because he was the one that tempted them and caused them to fall. So he had power. But the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Of course, this is making reference to the Messiah. Finally, something happening, a light shining in the darkness to give some hope. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world, making reference to the prophecy that was given in Isaiah, the fulfillment of that. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Here, finally, something to latch on to, something for the people to grab hold of, to have some hope. They didn't fully understand what that hope was. But here Jesus is saying, I'm the light of the world. I have come into this darkness to shed some light, to provide you with some hope, finally. Okay. In Romans 5:1-2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What does that mean, the hope of the glory of God? The hope is that we will see it someday. We will be part of it. The Lord is coming back to shine his full glory in the earth. And we can rejoice in that because now we have hope of something, that we will be a part of that. The Lord is coming back for us. And he's going to shine his glory. And we will bask in that glory. And we will be glorified with him. And we have that hope, that expectation, that positive, confident expectation that that is what is going to happen. Not like the people back in the days before Jesus who had no hope. They had no idea of what God was going to do, how he would provide salvation, how he would provide hope for his people. They had no idea, but now it is evident. Now it is finally evident. And Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope of the glory of God, of participation in that, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. That veil makes reference to the veil in the temple. The temple was divided into various parts. There was the courtyard where all the people could go, except for the Gentiles. These were strictly for Jewish people. There was the place where the priests, the holy place, where the priests went to minister to God, where they had an altar with some showbread on it and other utensils, and where the sacrifices were. And then there was the most holy place behind this veil or this curtain that nobody could go into, because that's where the presence of God was. You could not go into that. Sinful man or woman could not enter behind that veil. It was instant death. You could not enter into the presence of the most holy God in a sinful condition, except the high priest once a year with sacrifices could enter in to make atonement for the people for that year. And they went through this year after year after year. But now, we have a hope as an anchor of the soul which enters the presence behind the veil. We have this hope, this expectation that we can now go into that place, that most holy place where God is. We can enter into his presence. We have that hope that we can do that, because God has made a way. When Jesus died on the cross, That veil was torn in two from top to bottom. God did that supernaturally, making it clear that now there was a way into his presence beyond the veil. And we have that hope, that expectation, that we can come boldly before the throne of God to enter into his presence. And that's an anchor for our soul. And what does an anchor do? It holds a ship fast to where you want it moored. A ship drops anchor because it wants to stay in that location. We have that hope as an anchor of our soul, that we will not be moved away. We will not be tossed to and fro by waves that may come against us through the storms of life. We are held fast to our place. That hope holds us fast. We will not be moved. We will not doubt. We will not fear. We will not hide. We will not run away. God has us held secure through that hope. That hope of seeing the glory of God and being with him throughout all eternity one day. Okay. Now Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope, we worship a God of hope, of confident, positive expectation of good things, of blessings. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is God's will that you abound in hope, that your desires, your wishes, the prayers that you offer, whether it's on behalf of yourself or others, will be met. He wants to fill you with hope, the confident expectation that he will meet your needs, that he will bless you, that he will answer your prayers, maybe not in the time that you want them answered, maybe not in the way that you want them answered. But he wants to fill you with that hope in walking with him, that you can trust him and confidently expect that he is going to meet every single one of your needs. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Hope. The world defines it a different way. They don't know what they're talking about. But we know what hope truly means. And we have a God of hope who loves us and wants to fill us with hope and all manner of good things. He wants to bless us with his grace over and over so that we can be filled with joy and peace. If you're not feeling particularly joyful this morning, maybe it's time you start thinking a little differently about the God that you serve and the God that loves you. Wants you to be joyful and filled with hope, to have peace in your hearts. And what a positive message that is for others. For those that have not yet come to salvation, if they could see in us the hope that we have and the joy that's in our hearts, it's a natural thing that they would want to partake of that. We have something wonderful to offer to others. And there's only one way to receive it, and that's through Jesus. He is our hope. Like the video says, hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. And he came that we might have hope. So praise God. Let's live like we know it. Let's live like we understand. Let's live like we have something good to offer to others, because we do. Let's not dwell on the negative things of our lives, but dwell on a positive God who loves us so very dearly and has a special place reserved for each one of us in heaven. because of that great love. Because of it, he has given us the hope that we have. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the hope you have given us. Thank you for Jesus. He is our hope. And through that hope, Lord, we are held fast to you. And we know that someday we have that expectation, and we are confident in it, that we are going to partake of your glory. You are going to reveal it to us. You are coming back for us. And we have eternal life, that free gift of yours. We expect that too, Lord. We will have glorified bodies. We will see you as you really are. All of these things are part of our hope, that someday every tear will be wiped away. There'll be no more heartache, no pain, no sorrow, no more death. For you have conquered it all. We give you praise, honor, and glory, Lord. You truly are our hope. And we thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.